Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts as we wrap up our week going through just a few heavy-hitting verses of Ephesians chapter 4. We began our week saying, look, we're coming off of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul's saying, therefore, if you want to be rooted and grounded in love, I want you to comprehend what is the height, what is the depth, what is the length, what is the breadth of the love of God. I want you to be filled with the fullness of God. And we're like, yes, that sounds amazing. And then he says, therefore. So we know he's going to say something else. We know he's going to bind these two things together. Therefore, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And so if you're with us, you know that calling. We're talking not just about your individual vocation, which God does give you the grace to walk in. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, of the grace. He gives grace for the gifting that he's given each and every one of us. But that universal calling that we have, that I want to remind you of each and every day, of you have a calling to live a life worthy of being adopted into the family of God, of being holy and being perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, and your calling to live forever in eternity. That's your calling today. So don't disqualify yourself saying, I don't have a calling. And so Paul begins to tell us, what does that look like? It looks like walking with humility. It looks like getting low. Take the low road. Take the lowest place. It looks like patience, not losing patience with one another, growing in that. And it looks like endurance and meekness, strength under control. But all of these things, all of this high calling that we have, comes from a place of being loved by Christ, of being blessed by him, and of knowing him and what he's done for us. So we're living from a place of fullness. And so I'd encourage you to go and listen to this week of all that we've talked about. So we're going to read Psalm 136, and we're going to pick up in Ephesians 4 of where we left off yesterday, of guarding the peace and unity of our communities, guarding our love for one another. Because again, I think we're living in such a divisive hour, and the church needs to be a bastion, needs to be a point of saying, look, we need to guard our unity with one another. So Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. And the moon and stars to cover the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. I'm going to skip forward. He remembered us in our low state, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love endures forever. Lord Jesus, your love truly endures forever from age to age. Pour out that love upon us right now. Let us know how loved we are by you, how enduring your love is, that it never leaves, it never goes away, it never becomes less. Show us today, Lord, the greatness of your love, so we may walk worthy of the calling we've received. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is one of my favorite psalms, and it reads like a litany, right? Like a call and response. And so in some of our past episodes, we've talked about how the psalms are so good for filling your minds with a little refrain, with a little back and forth. And his love endures forever. It's giving us a refrain right there. And so one encouragement, if you have time in your prayer time today, I would say write a little litany of his enduring love in your own life. Like, you know, see how Israel's doing it. This, it says, he's done great wonders. He made the moon and the stars. He remembered us in our low state. You struck down great kings. Your love endures forever. It's saying all the things that the Lord has done. Go through your life. Go through the places where the Lord has delivered you. Go through the places where the Lord has shown you his love. Go through the places where you would not have made it without him. And write that down, being like, when you delivered me from this particular sin, your love endures forever. When you brought that person into my life, when your love endures forever. When you gave me that job that I didn't think I was going to get, your love endures forever. Write a little litany of the history of your life to remember who God is and that his love endures forever. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to pick up. We're going to go in 4 again. I'm just going to read the same little verses that I've been reading because they're so, so good. And we're going to pick up on being united in Christ. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So yesterday we finished up talking about unity. And Paul's saying, be eager to guard your unity in the bond of peace. And so we talked about that unity of the Spirit. It's a oneness that's given to the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that oneness is said over and over again, one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so Paul's saying, what we talked about yesterday is be eager to look for unity. Be eager to look at your brothers and sisters and say, how can I be united to this person? How can I love this person? How am I looking for division? Even in the culture, I was noticing that like social media is such a hotbed for this. We look at people with cynicism. We look at people and we're saying, eh, they're not genuine, or they don't really like love God, or what they're doing is like not out of a pure motive. And we have so much judgment in our hearts. But then the next phrase is guard the unity in the bond of peace. That Greek word for bond is pseudesmos. It means a binding tie or a fastening, right? And that peace here, it's a reconciling peace that Christ has established. Talks about this in Ephesians 2. It says, he is our peace, our reconciling peace. In his flesh, he has made both Jews and Gentiles into one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. So what is unity in the bond of peace? It's not just like kumbaya, oneness, like, oh, I'll be with you and you'll be with me and yay, let's just all hold hands. That bond of peace, it's a concrete lived reconciliation among Christians that is rooted in Christ's cross. In one place in scripture, it says about Jesus, it says he's making peace by the blood of his cross. As we just read in Ephesians 2, he breaks down the dividing wall of hostility. He has made peace by the blood of his cross. So it's not just like this general spirit of unity saying, yay, I'm one with you, and yay, you're one with me, and yay, we feel like we're all from the same family. Yay, it seems so good. But no, it's this bond of peace, the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, the peace of Christ, which is a concrete lived reconciliation. I love that phrase, lived reconciliation, and that it uses the phrase reconciliation. What exactly does reconciliation mean? What does it mean? You might be thinking in your head something, but I want to do the official definition. It's this rich meaning, the restoration of right relationship between persons. It comes from the Latin reconciliare, to bring together again, a lived bringing together again. This is a process. This is something that we fight for. Guarding unity is a process of fighting for something. It means there will be disruption. It means there will be division. It means there will be separation, but the bond of peace is a concrete lived reconciliation of as we approach. And don't get me wrong, sometimes, friends, We can't restore the relationship. Sometimes we just apologize and something is too toxic. But my concern is that in Catholic community, in Christian relationships, is we're living by a cultural standard of just the people we don't like or the people who bother us. We're like, no, I can't have that person in my life. All that person stresses me out, or that person is toxic, or I now have a right to talk bad about them, or I'm just going into my little hole, my little place with just the people that I like, just the people who make me feel warm and fuzzy, just the people who make me feel safe. And Paul's saying, no, there will be a process. There will be broken relationships. I mean, if you look at the early councils of the church, what was the early council where one of the apostles punched another apostle in the face over a doctrinal disagreement? You don't think that in amongst the early apostles, there was some disagreements? I mean, think about even the apostles receiving Paul, the one who persecuted them. And now God's like, I've anointed Paul to lead you and be the one who's going to preach to the Gentiles. You don't think there was some jealousy, some strife? You don't think their personalities rubbed up against each other's? But we genuinely think it's like kumbaya. And God is saying, stop living. Paul's saying, one of the ways that you live a life worthy, because why? They will know we are Christians by our love for one another, how we treat them, but also how we treat one another. He's saying we don't run from the rupture. We don't run from division. We don't run from relational conflict. We have humility. We have meekness. We have patience. And we have the supernatural blood of Christ, which makes peace through the cross. And we work through it. And we try to work through it again and again and again. And we fight for that. It's a concrete lived reality of reconciliation. This is a part of our calling. And it makes it a lot easier, friends, when we assume the best and we go into Christian relationships saying, I'm not giving up so easily. I'm going to work on my relationships with people. So guarding unity, guarding our oneness, guarding our family in the bond of peace, right? That peace that Jesus Christ in his flesh has made us one. I love this. Peace is a ligament that holds the body of Christ together. The Catechism says this, the church is one because of her soul. It is the Holy Spirit dwelling in those who believe, who brings about that wonderful communion of the faithful and joins them together so intently in Christ that he is the principle of the church's unity. The church is one because of her source. The highest exemplar and source of this mystery is the unity in the Trinity of the persons, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, as we wrap up this week, as we think about and pray about all we've talked about, as we're seated with Christ, as we receive his blessings, as we consider how we can walk worthy of that calling of holiness, the calling of adoption into God's family, and the calling of making it to heaven, that we consider, how does this apply to our Christian relationships? How does this apply to unity in the church? Am I looking for division, or am I allowing Christ to form me in all meekness and humility and patience into somebody that fights for relationships with my brothers and sisters? God bless you. Join us again next week.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.